Well, welcome everybody to the Christmas edition of the Passion 07 podcast. Merry Christmas to everybody out there.
Can you believe it, Eddie? We've made it all the way to Christmas with the Passion 07 podcast, connecting the world on the journey to Atlanta.
Yeah, I can't believe we've made it this far.
And now it's the week of Christmas. It's just a few more days and we're going to be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world, which is incredible. But it seems like it's going by really fast.
Yeah, and it's a blur.
Yeah, for you guys that are listening out there, from Eddie and myself and all of us at the Passion House and Six Steps Records, we want to just wish you the most fabulous Christmas season, joyous celebration with family and friends, the people that you love, and to all of our listeners in the United Kingdom, of course, we want to say Happy Christmas.
Because they've got to be a little different.
Yeah, always. Everything's just a little tweak there, and I like that, though. I got an email from a friend, not Matt Redmond. I have another friend in England, actually, just this morning. And I love the end of it. It's just that little simple Happy Christmas. And I thought,
that's
I
nice.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be that
that's
way.
That's very nice.
It should be a happy Christmas, which is really what Mary means after
right.
all.
Yeah. And it might be, you know, as we're recording here today, it might be a little noisy around because there's a lot going on in the house.
Oh, my goodness. We've got trucks coming and going. We've got stuff coming and going. We are a weekend and a few days out from Passion 07. And it is like a bomb has blown up around here, and stuff is going crazy. So if you do hear somebody banging on the wall or the door or a lot of commotion, then, you know, join the fun. That's what we're doing pretty much around the clock right now.
And one thing that we want to make sure to highlight is the fact that registration is still open. People are still, you know, pouring in. Registrations are coming in every day, and that's part of the reason why everybody's running around so crazy right now.
Yeah, everything is wide open right now, and I probably shouldn't mention this, Eddie, but I was on eBay doing some Christmas shopping last night, and I thought, while I have a second and I'm waiting to see if I win this auction, you know, don't you hate the countdown for the last
That's
30 minutes, you know,
worst.
And you can't just leave it. You got to watch it every single second as
right.
it counts down. But I thought I'll just check and see if Passion 07's represented at eBay. And
right.
sure enough, there are about 9 registrations for sale on eBay
wow.
right now. And they're for sale at the $99 rate.
That's a pretty good deal.
In the spirit of Christmas, you could register online for $179, which I also did look around at some other Christmas conferences because
mm-hmm.
we were praying for other conferences on the blog this week.
Right.
And as I was looking around at different options that college students have, and I thought, you know what, our price is pretty good even at
yeah.
$179. So that's what it is on our website right now. But if there are 9 of you out there and you want to do the eBay thing, you can buy the transaction right there on eBay, and they'll switch the registration because it is transferable and it's completely legal. So there you have it.
Yeah.
So just as a Christmas present from us to you, if you're still thinking about coming to Passion, but we would love for you to come. We've got
yeah.
registrations rolling in. In fact, I want to just give a couple of shout-outs, if
All
I
right.
can, on the podcast today. And this is probably illegal, but we won't use anyone's real name except for Hannah. We got a lot of the Christian schools represented
yeah.
today, Eddie. We've got Hannah from Liberty University. Christopher, might go by Chris, from Mercer. Dawson from DBU. Jace from Lipscomb University. And Candace from Lee University. So we've got quite the Christian
That's
schools
cool.
represented. But then we've got Sarah coming in just today, just like an hour ago, from the University of Oklahoma.
Wow.
Go Sooners. We've got Jacob from University of Texas at Arlington and Gina from the University of Texas at Tyler. So
That's
the UT
cool.
system well represented this morning in registrations. And then the last registration that came in before I came down the hall to do the podcast is Megan from Texas Christian University, the Horned
TCU.
Frogs at TCU. So registrations open. And on a serious note, just want to encourage you in that. I mean, it's not too late for you to encourage a friend to come with you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got space. We would love to see as many people as possible experience what God is going to do in these days. We are praying. We're preparing the way. We are believing God to do supernatural things in these days, to change our lives, to heal, restore, to inspire, to give vision, to call, to change. And we just want every person possible to have a chance to experience it. So invite a friend along. Share the message with somebody that doesn't know yet. Talk to your friends now that you're home for Christmas. Hit your mom and dad up if you're thinking about coming for the $179. Registration's open, and we want you to be a part of it.
And there's another thing, too, that we want to make sure everybody knows. If, you know, if you're coming to Passion 07, or if you're thinking about coming, or if you just joined us on the podcast, we've been talking about this Do Something Now piece, and a specific portion of that we're focusing on the city of Atlanta itself.
Yeah, Touch Atlanta, we talked about it here. In fact, everybody, I hope, has heard about it by now, but we just want, Passion isn't an event. It's not something you come to, you hear more music from your favorite Christian artist, and you hear a good talk from your favorite speaker, and you feel better about life and move on. We want to be a movement, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
of radical lovers of Jesus that are bringing the kingdom of God to the world, which means bringing all of what Jesus represents into the lives of people. And we definitely do not want to have 22,000 plus people show up in Atlanta and not have the last and the least of these in the city at least know the kingdom of God is near. So yeah, we're collecting towels and socks at registration. We've asked every person to bring a like new bath towel and a like new pair of socks to registration. And we're partnering with shelters and organizations throughout the city. I just heard, literally walking in the door to do the podcast for Macy, that we have requests for over 50,000 towels right now from organizations in the city. And I'm not a genius, but I'm doing the math, and I'm thinking if every one of the 22,000 people brings a towel, which I'm not sure every one of them even has heard yet, that's not quite 50.
Yeah.
So a few of you guys are going to have to do two or three towels, because I would love, I mean, we definitely can say, hey, it's the best we could do to get you 2,500. I know you wanted 5,000. And to this organization, you wanted 500. We got you 300. That it would be incredible if there was just an explosion of towels and an explosion of socks at registration on January the 1st. So here's what we need. We need, this needs to become an all skate event from everybody coming to Passion 07.
We need everybody out there right now, if you're listening right now, to get on the phone, to start texting people, to start instant messaging people, everybody you know, and let them know.
Not tomorrow, now. We need you to get your cell phone
right now.
Please do this for us. Eddie and I are asking you. We get down on our knees in here, but we're in a little bitty room and we probably can't fit. We're begging you for your help, okay? We need you to pick up your phone right now while you're listening to the podcast. I don't care if it's day or night, morning or dark. And we need you to text every person you know that's coming to Passion 07 with the simple question, do you know about the towels and socks? And if they text back, then text them back and say, then text somebody you know and ask them, do you know about the towels and socks? If you don't text, shoot them a message, leave them a voicemail, IM them, poke them, send them an email, whatever it takes. We need every single person to know about the towels and socks, because it first started out, hey, 22,000 towels, that's going to be a really cool thing. We started asking around the city, do you need towels? How many do you need? Now we're looking at a need of 50,000 towels in Atlanta. And so we want everybody to be on board. I just don't know, you know. Shelly and I ran into some college students in the mall doing some shopping over the weekend, and had a pretty interesting God encounter, by the way, in the food court. That was really cool. But at the end of it, you know, they said, hey, and we'll be at Passion 07. We'll see you in a few days. And we got our towels and socks. And so
it's
the first real people, Eddie, that I've seen like out in life, you know, besides me and you, that I actually know has heard about the towels and socks. So we're just, one last time, here we go. Let's say it together. We need everybody coming
right now
to do something, to engage, put it on your Facebook page, tell your friends over Christmas parties, the whole deal. Everybody you run into, you know about the towels and socks? You know about the towels and socks? You know about the towels and socks? Okay, if they say, yes, I know about the towels and socks, I say, cool, tell somebody else about the towels and socks. Because we got a big job ahead of us, and it's going to be amazing.
And if you want to bring more than one, you're welcome to do that.
Man, I think at this point, if you're coming to Passion, and if you're not coming to Passion, I know you're hearing this and you're like, man, I can help. We're not equipped. We are so wall-to-wall right now, just moving everything downtown and getting set up. But if you're coming to Passion and you're showing up on January 1st, bring 10 towels, bring 5 towels, bring 2 towels, bring 3 towels. It doesn't matter. All the towels you bring, we'll be able to use. And that was the concern to me. Do we have enough demand to really do this thing right? And the demand now is going through the roof. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. And thank you for your help in that, by the way. I got an email the other day, somebody just saying, I just bought my towel. And I thought, man, that's a brand new towel. And cool. I got a lovely set of towels, by the way, Eddie, that I'm thinking about bringing.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, Louie inherited a wonderful set of Christmas towels last night. We had our Passion team Christmas party with a White Elephant Exchange. And if you've ever been a part of a White Elephant Exchange, it's wonderful.
Yeah, what was the other names we had for the White Elephant last night? Because we got listeners from all over America.
We had Yankee Swap.
Yankee Swap. I like that
one.
So all you guys
from
up north, maybe you can help us understand that when you come down to Passion. But yes, I think these towels actually have been around the Passion Christmas season events for a while now.
If I remember correctly, I inherited the towels last year.
And you brought them this year.
I don't really
know how
they
ended up there. I just happened to notice the bags that you and Danielle brought through the door when you came in. But I've got this lovely set of Christmas towels that I need something to do with. But I think I'm actually going to bring some different towels to Fashion 07.
Yes, because that's what we want. We want fresh towels, nice towels.
We don't want any white elephant gifts.
So we mentioned last week that we've got a great interview today with a couple different people. This is the first time that we've had more than one person on the interview. And you were actually sitting there talking to them.
So this was a face-to-face interview, happened a few weeks ago. And it's a great conversation with Matt Redman from the United Kingdom, Great Britain, England. Country so great it has multiple names. And
three names, to be exact.
As Matt is working with a church plant there called The Point, and is a songwriter, worship leader who's known around the world. And also with us was Charlie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie has been one of the voices of Passion from the very beginning. Amazing songwriter, a great heart for people, especially for people that are outside the church and trying to look in and find a way to connect with Jesus Christ. And so these guys were together. We sat down, talked about life, talked about the church, talked about Passion a little bit. And I think for all of you songwriters, worship leaders, anybody in leadership really in the church, you're going to love this. But I think for everybody coming to Passion 07, just give you a little bit of a glimpse behind the scenes with these guys. So this is Matt Redman, Charlie Hall, and yours truly together just a few weeks ago. Hope you enjoy.
Well, guys, it's great to have a special guest on the Passion 07 podcast today. I'm sitting here with Matt Redman, who's made it all the way from the United Kingdom to be a part live of our interview today, and with Charlie Hall from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we're,
hello.
we've been hanging out together a little bit talking about Passion 07 for the last couple of days. It's been exciting just to think about what's going to happen in just a few weeks from now, actually, and just encouraging just to have some time together to think about process and talk about what God's going to do, and just coming up in a couple of weeks now. So we're all excited, looking forward to it, and excited that you guys are on the journey with us as well.
It's going to be a blessing. It's an incredible thing to see thousands and thousands of college students getting around one theme and getting around one aim and one purpose. There's an amazing momentum in that. And just talking as a little English man coming in and getting to be part of it is just my favorite thing I do in life. I love it.
Yeah, it's been a really a cool thing for God to allow us to walk together on this journey. And Charlie, you've been a part of it from the very beginning, and at every level really have been a part of the thing as we've built it and helped shape the idea and where we're going together. And I was thinking just the other day about how God chooses things and how he works and how his plans are so different than ours. And I remember at Passion 99, we had a Passion band in 1997 and a Passion band in 1998, and we were kind of headed that way in 1999, and due to some circumstances outside of our control, you got sort of thrust to the front of that band, and here we were, had 11,500 people coming to Fort Worth, Texas, and we were freaking out. It was the biggest gathering, we'd been a part of, and all of a sudden, it's like, Charlie, you're on, man, and I'm sorry that I don't have more than 3 weeks' notice to tell you that, but you're going to carry the ball for us. And man, just the way God had raised you up for that moment, and you stepped into that moment, and there was, a lot of people look back over the history of Passion, and we're not, idolizing any moment in our journey, but there are a lot of people that look back over our history, and something special happened in that arena in Fort Worth, Texas. And I hear people still say to me, I think that was maybe the all-time moment in my life in corporate worship where God did something supernatural that I've never seen happen again. Yeah. And it was just a pretty humbling few days that we had back there.
It was, and I can remember feeling very, very small in the moment, and not height-wise, Matt.
No, obviously.
But
because you're actually quite tall in your life.
That's right. Thanks. But I felt small, but just like how do you step into this moment? And it's one of those times where you just step into it, and then God does something amazing through the small things, through small people, through the simple people, through the unexpected. He always kind of shows up through the unexpected, and I feel that way, and felt that way, and I really look back at Passion 99 and
know that God just breathed a breath that was just kind of it was striking. I mean, I still really recall it. I can see it in my head, and every time the passion comes back around, my body starts to remember, you know, and recall just what happened in those days. And it was rich, and we were saying to God with different songs the same things that we've been saying for over a decade now, and calling Him great and speaking to Him with our hearts and calling Him holy and using our hands and our voices, and it was a beautiful, amazing thing. God's presence was deep, powerful.
Yeah. Matt, you came into the journey a little bit later along the way. We met in 2000 or something like that,
yeah,
or somewhere along the way, and invited you to come to One Day,
yeah,
in Memphis, Tennessee, and you and Beth came over and were a part of the gathering we had there. It was a pretty special time.
It was really special. I mean, it's interesting because I came into it not knowing everything about what it was, and I knew you a little bit and heard a few bits, but I wasn't prepared for how much it was going to impact me. It really, you know, been doing a few events in America and stuff, but it felt like much more than that, and it felt like, oh wow, this is really special. God's breathing on this in an amazing way, and I love the values of the way it was set up. You know, it was this kind of nameless thing, and also, to be honest, the biggest events aren't always the most profound. That sounds a funny thing to say, but sometimes they're not. That's not always the thing. But it was like, I don't know, 40,000 college students, but it truly was one of the most profound things I've ever been to. I've got some memories of just looking around, and I think it was raining, and I just saw these college students with their face down, you know, faces in the mud, and just praying out and calling out to God for the nations and for this nation. It was just, it sticks with me to this day. It was wonderful.
Charlie, I know you understand that. You have a heart for real people, and that's one of the things that I think marks your life and your life in Oklahoma City, is being around real people who are maybe outside of the traditional stream of what we call church, and you've tried to give voice to those people, yeah, and somehow carry the story of God to them through your music all as long as I've known you, really.
Yeah, I can always remember not knowing God, and just I can recall feelings and kind of the hopelessness, and so I think a lot of times I look for the things that God has planted in me that makes me different, and it's not obviously it's Christ resides in me, and that obviously totally changes me, but I think that there's a hope that lands inside of me now. So even when my life feels out of whack or peculiar, this hope that's kind of unexplainable comes up. It's just a life in Christ that comes out of us when we understand that our life is in Him. And so as I'm with people, I've just learned how to, it really makes the most sense. The light shines the brightest in the darkest places, you know. And so I enjoy, I don't know if that's the right word, but you understand what I'm saying. I enjoy being in dark places sometimes, because you can watch light really pierce through, you know. And it's, so a lot of times it's one-on-one conversations. It's hanging out with, you know, friends. I've got all kinds of peculiar friends and different relationships, and the church to me is so huge, and it's this web of relationships that is other Christians. It's older people pouring into younger people serving older people. It's humans being with other humans, even past their faith. And then what I'm discovering is, as just an ordinary man, a human man, go sit with another human man and talk about the bravery and the guts that God's put inside of me, I watch it affect their how they see themselves and how they even see God. And I love that. I love, and you're not visible. There's no one going to buy a CD at the end of the conversation. There's no one clapping for you at the end. But you watch someone's eyes get wider, and you can sometimes feel their heart get bigger and more open toward this, not just spirituality in God. That's very acceptable today, you know, and I'm a spiritual man, but my teacher, my mentor, and the God that lives inside of me is Jesus Christ, and it makes a really big difference.
Talk a little bit, both of you, just, you know, it seems like there's an underlying tension growing in the church, and it's, you know, you've got a camp on one side that's like, we're the church, we should be the church, we shouldn't shirk away from being the church, and that means all these different kinds of things. And you have other people that are like, look, we've got to reach people, whatever it takes, wherever that leads us, you know, being all things to all people. And so you're seeing all these new forms of church sort of emerge, and you've got people on the one side going, man, you know, we're selling out, you know, we're losing our moorings and our footing as the people of God. And you got other people going, forget about our moorings, man, we got a whole generation around us that's dying, let's chunk, you know, all this baggage that we've got and let's run to meet them. And it seems like, you know, there's maybe some danger on both ends of that equation.
Yeah.
What's your take on that, and where is the church in the middle of that dynamic? Does it have distinctive, should it be distinct in culture, or, you know, and is there a danger of losing that, or is there also a danger of being so worked up about, you know, what our distinctives are that we end up becoming completely irrelevant, yeah, to the people that Jesus cares the most about in our towns and cities?
I think it's both. I think there's dangers on both sides. I think that if we are, the church is obviously more than a building. Everyone would shake their heads and agree to that. But it's the bride of Christ. It's God's wife. So that's very distinctive. That's very different than just, you know, being spiritual or finding your own way. That's really an incredible and phenomenal thing. It's just amazing. But at the same time, it feels like in America, we've created a kind of system where we chase our tail a little bit, where I'm trying to make so-and-so happy, and so he looks at me and goes, man, that guy's a good Christian. And then, you know, we just kind of go around and around and around, where we all are in this little ghetto making each other happy. And so this way we can keep our staff job, or I can sell more music, or I can do this, or I can do that, and I feel accepted, you know, in this club, in this ghetto. But it's just, it's not a club or a ghetto. It's God's wife, and it's God's sign and message to the world that he is the Savior. And so you have to see it as more than just a club, so that you can actually forget about pleasing people, although there's massive respect inside of working with people. But you don't just try to please other Christians, because in that sense it feels like you lose your freedom and your hunger to go sit with people that they're not clean. It's not right. They're gonna say things that'll freak you out. But if we can jump over some of that and just let them be a human and be with them, then I think it changes the atmosphere for them.
Hmm. I think one of the things is we need so many different flavors of church. And I remember when we first set up our church, went to see the bishop, and he was, this guy's Anglo-Catholic, you know, he's a totally different kind of expression of worship and church than we would choose. And but he's a passionate evangelist, and he believes that church planting is one of the main ways that we can be effective in evangelism in communities. And so he said to us, he sat us down, he took us to the Acts chapter 2 thing, and he said, look, I don't care how loud your church is, I don't care how long the services are, I don't really care a whole lot about what you do, but I want you to do these things. And he took us to those main and plain things that are in the Acts chapter 2, the breaking of bread, you know, elements of worship and prayer and teaching and sharing community. He said, as long as you do those, I don't care what it looks like. We need so many different flavors of church. We need, that's how you're going to reach people. And so I think that does mean for some people, that means church is going to look real different in different, some church is going to look really traditional, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, I think sometimes the danger when you're some of these more kind of, I don't know what you want to call them, contemporary expressions, write off all that and think, oh, that was old school, that's no, but you can't write off that as a certain sort of person who, that is absolutely the way to reach them. There's other people who, they mustn't go anywhere near a church building. You need to plant something in a club or in, you know, just a kind of maybe the most secular venue you can find, because that's the only way you're ever going to get them through the church door. And so I really believe that there needs to be so many different flavors, that all things to all men, that stuff, you know, reaching people.
Yeah. I can remember all the, out of the however long I've been a Christian, 15 years or something, all the waves of and brands and forms and God movements or denominations I've been through and been with and been around, I'm now on kind of the side where I needed all of them to pour into each step of the way. And I, as I walk away, I'm taking, you know, maybe a nugget with me and leaving a lot of it behind. But I've got, you know, a whole bunch of stuff in my heart just from all the different things that I've let affect my heart, you know, in terms of what God's doing through the church, through all kinds of people and denominations and forms.
I mean, one of my passions has been also taking that something from the past as well, learning from our heritage. And when it comes to songwriting, I think it's one of the freshest ways that I've found to find something fresh is to actually dig back into the past. But I think it's the same for church planting. We're using little bits of liturgy from Augustine or you know, these old prayers, you know, this Richard of Chichester is one of the things we've been using, and all these kind of weird old Richard of Chichester was his name, and but all these old English dudes.
Charlie and I have been praying a lot of his prayers.
I think he was around before your country existed, and that might be why you don't recognize his name.
They were praying before that.
Just kidding.
Amazing.
I'm just kidding. This is a wonderful name.
I can remember when you first came to America.
Matt, odd people.
And like, I gave you American lessons.
Charlie Hall.
I don't want to get into it.
Anyway, I think I was making a point a minute ago.
Focused on the church, but it takes a certain amount of courage to call your country the United Kingdom.
Yes, it does.
You know?
Yeah.
And especially as a believer, you know, when you sort of understand that there really is a kingdom of God.
Yeah, what's up with that, man?
I guess, well, you usually say Great Britain is quite an arrogant thing to call yourself as well. And again, I'd have to agree.
You're about the size of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, the United States. Yeah, okay.
Anyway,
I was making a point a minute ago.
Yeah, we'll edit all that out.
I don't know how far I can go to be nasty on the podcast.
Not at all. Please don't, because I know if we get into a verbal sparring match, you'll, you know, make mincemeat of me.
Maybe we should just finish this physically afterwards.
Like, well, just don't hurt me.
Hopefully.
But anyway, you were talking about Richard of Chichester.
Yeah. What I was saying is
something like that. And we're going
to this whole thing.
This
I'll tell you. Let me give you some Britishness here. Winston Churchill. Yeah, you heard of him?
Yes.
Yes.
He runs a bakery right down the street from our house.
Great British leader, Winston Churchill. He said some really funny things in life. I don't know if you ever heard.
Like what?
He was quite a sarcastic man. And one of the things, there's a lady once called Lady Astor, and she said to him, "Winston Churchill, if I was your wife, I would put poison in your tea." And he said, "Madam, if I was your husband, I would drink it." And so he's this kind of...
Is that one of the prayers of Richard?
Yeah, no, I'm coming on to you. No, give me a chance here. But another thing he said, which has been sticking with me recently, he said, without tradition, art is just a corpse. And without... Without tradition, art is just a flock of sheep without a shepherd. And without innovation, it's a corpse. So let me repeat that again, because I've got it right now. without tradition, art is just a flock of sheep without a shepherd, and without innovation, it's a corpse. And I thought there's a lot of good truth in that, in terms of shaping worship, in terms of shaping what we do, that actually we need to be guided by what's come before. You know, if we think we can just have all the answers in the here and now, then I don't think we're going to get the same kind of depth. You know, they kind of act as our guides. And but in the same way, if that's all you ever do, and do stuff in the past, then you it's going to be lifeless. And so I've really been trying to apply that kind of thought. I mean, there's actually a more biblical way of describing it in Matthew. I think it's in chapter 25 of Matthew, or somewhere in Matthew. It talks about bring out the old and new, the wise steward or the wise scribe brings out the old and new treasures from the storehouse. And for me, that's been just a big thing in planting this church, and in songwriting and worship as well, like bringing out the old and the new. There's a wisdom, there's a depth, there's a connection. It makes, like Charlie says, it makes church more than just a hobby or a club. It's a, wait a minute, we're part of this grand thing that God's building, you know, and we've got this amazing heritage and history, and that makes us distinct.
Yeah, and I think that's what we wanted to say, and that's what Passion is wanting to say, is that the church is the plan.
Yeah.
And so it's not perfect. It never has been perfect. It's never going to be perfect. It's multifaceted, it's distinct, there's a lot of flavors, there's some different streams, but the church is the plan. There isn't any other plan to change the world but the church. And we want to be able to say, A, we are for that, B, we want to be a part of it, and C, we want to say to this generation, which in many ways has been, you know, maybe frustrated, disappointed, let down by organized religion in some way, we want to be encouraging and a hopeful voice in the midst of that new generation to say, you know, you're the future, and you're the future of this church, and God has a place for you in it to take the good from the past and to lean for the hope of the future.
Yeah.
And to carry this story on to the next generation. The church isn't going to go away.
Yeah.
We know that from Scripture. Jesus is going to continue to build this church until the very end, until it's this glorious bride in the consummation of, you know, this relationship that Charlie was talking about earlier.
Yeah, wonderful.
I love the fact that we get to laugh a little bit, and I know some people are like, these guys don't seem like they can have a conversation, you know, without joking and kidding around. But I learned that from you guys in England. It's part of your culture there, even in church culture, to kid with each other, and
yeah,
a little bit more than it is here in America.
It's a sign of affection. If you tell a joke to about someone, it means you love them.
It's a sign of affection, and it's really kind of a winsome thing. It's really fun to watch it in action. And so when Charlie is around and all of us guys are together, we do a fair amount of joking and give each other a hard time. We're constantly giving you grief about, you know, your little country, and you're giving us more grief about our great nation. And but you and Chris, speaking of the old and recovering the old, we played in Chris's podcast a little bit earlier.
Oh yeah,
The song "How Can I Keep from Singing," which you were part of the process of that, of recovering this old hymn. And you and Chris not only had great times in writing together, but also just some good times of maybe keeping the you know, keeping things light at times. And I know you were excited to see the Time article that came out. And we mentioned on the podcast, you know, Christmas came early to the Matt Redman house.
Oh, man. I couldn't believe it. I've got on the floor. Just thank God. This little moment where Time magazine, I mean, the good news is it doesn't go very wide. It only goes out to 20 million people. So Chris isn't going to be altogether humiliated. But, you know, calling him shortish in there, I just thought, wow, yeah. You know, it's
a great description,
just,
though.
I mean, whoever, you know, it's just nice to know the Holy Spirit's working through the journalist and this accurate description of this little man from Texas. And I just thought it's wonderful, you know, it's just a blessing. I could talk a lot longer about that, but I know we need to move on.
Well, it's interesting that you would say that, because I have another guest in the other room here that I'd like to bring into the podcast. Chris, come on in.
All right, comes.
Oh, yes.
Let me give him a leg up onto the chair.
There you go. Why is he on stilts?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Christopher.
I have a feeling you've been talking about me.
Yep. Have you just got back from Gap Kids? No, he's got a new pair of dungarees.
They are lovely.
You st- still have a step stool in your bathroom.
The funny thing is,
but you can't quite get onto it yet.
I think I'm taller than both of you guys.
No way.
Yeah,
no way.
I think I am.
Well, because you have hair. That's,
I like that. You know. I think it's true. And so if I'm shortish, what does it?
In Texas, shortish. A lot of people ride horses, don't they? Mm-hmm. If you've got a like Shetland pony. You know? I think the podcast is deteriorating into the Matt Redman stand-up comedy hour. So let's get them all out. I want to hear two more. Okay. Chris is so short that on his passport photo is actually life-size. Okay, one more. Where do you have these is what I want to know. You don't have any notes with you. I say to people on the podcast, I don't know where it comes up.
Man, I feel good about walking into this room.
Yeah. Is that all you got?
I feel the love.
I think so. I mean, we were sitting on the curb earlier and his feet didn't touch the floor.
See, when people are listening to this and they may not have seen you or Charlie, they're thinking, yeah. God, these guys must be tall. Chris must be really short. The funny thing is, set it straight, man.
It's the beauty of podcasts.
Set it straight.
I was noticing, we were standing outside earlier, the three of us, and I didn't share this because I felt like, you know, I just want to respect you guys, but I was definitely looking and going, I'm actually taller than both of you guys.
I don't think. So. I'm not sure about that.
Even with no hair.
Just so you know out there, for wherever you're listening from, it's we're on pretty equal footing.
We are.
Oh, well, look, Chris got his boots on.
Yeah.
That's giving him another 3 inches right there.
Beautiful.
Platform shoes.
So that's good. That's what the podcast is all about, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what we had in mind when we started the podcast.
At the end of the day, we're just thankful God David Crowder's not here right now. You know?
David is
he ruined the whole game.
Yeah. He's 6'2" or 6'4" with his hair.
Yeah.
Maybe 6'5".
If you turn.
So 2 feet taller than Chris. So we're just a few weeks out from from Passion.
Yeah,
and we're gonna have a lot of short people on stage, shortish people.
Yeah,
on stage.
Wow, man, this is just.
But the
this has gone bad.
Yeah, the key thing is, I think, just to try to rescue the podcast here.
Matt, Julie,
see if I can possibly bring us back together here.
I was gonna start calling him Zacchaeus Tomlin, but carry on.
That was Zacchaeus for those of you who don't speak Brit English. And but I think that the thing I want to keep saying over and over, a couple of things. One, I just appreciate you guys very much, and I know that seems like a really kind of dorky thing to say at the end of the podcast, but we're carrying something precious together, and it really is stunning. We haven't talked about it a lot on the podcast, and but we have this Best of Passion CD coming out the day after Christmas. And we started looking back over the 9 albums of Passion and thinking, okay, we want to do more than just make a big compilation CD, because we know we don't need another worship compilation out there. But it was a way to tell our story again. Yeah. You have to tell your story over and over. That's the main lesson of leadership for me, is that you have to constantly keep telling your story time and time and time and time again. You can't tell your story this year and let that story carry for you next year. You have to always keep telling the story, and it's another way for us to tell the story to someone who hasn't heard it yet, or to reinforce it in the heart of somebody that has. So we kind of narrowed down to 50 songs, and then we all started pitching our hearts and our heads together, you guys and me and some other folks and who've been close to the process, Nathan and Christy Knuckles and Brad O'Donnell, who helps with the label stuff from EMI side, and David and Shelley, and we just started pitching in, and we were going for 30 songs out of those 50, and I thought, well, man, it's 50 songs. Surely we can pick 30 songs to go on these 2 CDs. And it was really, really hard. But the more we looked at it, I just started getting this incredible, overwhelming, humbling, trembling, shrinking thing happening in my heart of looking at what's come out of this little humble movement, this little tiny grain of sand in the Sahara Desert of the Kingdom of God called Passion. And you guys have been such a vital part of that. And looking and seeing the songs that God's birthed through you, and it's the way that a lot of those songs have been birthed or taken on a definite gust of wind in certain moments in the Passion journey has been pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds a little bit cheeseball, but I just want to tell you I love you guys, and I love carrying this with you and being in the journey with you guys.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Chris, I just want to ask you really quick, tell us about Frequency. You were working on it when we did your interview, and I wanted to mention it then, but it wasn't quite ready yet. But you're launching sort of a way to connect to worship leaders and churches and college ministries and youth groups around the world, really. And what's going on? What's the heart behind it?
Yes, hopefully by when you hear this, it'll be just launching out there very soon. So the heart behind Frequency is this place, this online community that you'll be able to go to. For those of you who maybe are in a youth band or a college band, or you're a worship leader, or you're on a worship team, or you sing in the choir, or you're a musician, you play drums, whatever, but you have a heart to lead the church in worship, you have a heart to lead people in worship. What I wanted to do is use any kind of influence or just inspiration or encouragement that God has put in my heart to just share that with you and provide a place online that you can come and just be encouraged, and we can. And so it's called worshipfrequency.com, or you can go to my site christomlin.com and just click on the link to Frequency, service of worship. And the heart behind this idea is that we are when we worship God, and I think Charlie and Matt, you guys would agree that when we come to worship God, we are actually serving the kingdom of God. The worship service is not about a time of where we get on stage and say, hey, look at us, and this is what we're doing. But I wanted to change that around and say it's the service of worship, not the worship service, in that we are serving people, and we're serving the kingdom of God when we worship Him. And so how can we do that the best? How can I encourage you along the way? And I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm just saying let's come and just build a community together. Yeah. And we're going out on tour in the spring, Matt and Louis. And what I wanted to have is people who become members of this Frequency. It's a membership thing where it's free, of course, but you join it and it becomes hopefully this community. And so if you want to come before each night of the tour as well, I just want to say this as well, we're going to have gatherings for kind of the Frequency members and whoever they want to bring, just to sit around face to face and talk with one another. So I hope you find it as a place that is a great encouragement, inspiration, and we'll have blogs up, charts, videos on how to play songs, thoughts on worship. I'm trying to get Matt to write a few thoughts, and if he can bring some to the table, and so it'll be a great time. And so it's worshipfrequency.com.
I have to say, Chris showed me the site yesterday. I just thought it's brilliant. It's going to be an amazing resource. It looks cool, and it's full of fantastic content. It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah. Last question before we go away. Short answer. People on the podcast today, a lot of them are in places in the world, stage of life, that coming to Passion 07 is not an option for them. They're not a high school senior, not 18 to 25, not university or university age, but they've been linking in with us because they just wanted to hear what you guys had to say and maybe believe in the vision of Passion, have been a part of it. And so we say thank you to all you guys who've been part of the journey and being on the podcast today. It's great having you with us. But some of the folks listening to this are just literally days away from Atlanta, Georgia, and in a few days they're going to walk through the door, some of them for the very first time. It's their first Passion gathering. They heard about it from friends in the dorm, and they talked about it all year, and they're like, you're coming. And so they're, all right, here we go, we're going to Atlanta. What can they expect? What should they be ready for? They're like, tell me about it. And that's a hard question to answer, to say tell me about Passion. But what would you say to somebody who's a few days away from walking through the door in Atlanta? What should they be ready for? How should they be ready for it? Obviously, we're all in the middle of this prayer journey that we've been doing together leading up to Passion 07. But, Charlie, with you first, what would you say to somebody that's on the way to Atlanta on January 1st?
I would say for me, the last decade, each year that we do something is a kind of a mind-altering kind of a changing of my mind each year, as well as like a re-centering. And then, you know, the times that we've had these conferences in the beginning of January has been to have the changing of your mind at the very beginning of the year. First of all, just the atmosphere of it is amazing. All the people, all the intensity toward God. But for me personally, it's just been, it's always just kind of turned me again or made me look up, you know, in a bigger way.
Matt? I think my thing would be just say when you come, don't just, because it's so easy often to come to Christian conferences and think, what can I get out of this? I think come with that attitude, what I'm going to come and give. You know, passion for me is going to be like a time where I'm bringing a worship offering to God. I'm going to enter in as fully as I can from the first moment. And because I think actually that way you actually end up getting a lot more. Anyway, it's a funny dynamic in the kingdom of God, I think. But if you can just come and see it, like, I'm not just coming to attend this thing, I'm not just coming to get something, but I'm actually going to approach this like this is, I'm coming as an act of worship.
Yeah.
And I think wonderful things are going to come out of that.
Let's echo a little bit of that, too. I feel that passion is a very unique place in the sense that we can leave our own preferences, our own, this is the way I like to do it, this is the way I like to do it. And we leave that and we really become, hopefully, one, as Jesus prayed, I want you to be one. And I just, every time I'm a part of leading at Passion or just sitting in the crowd and responding to God and worshiping God or hearing the teaching of the Word, I just feel like this is the community. This is hopefully a beautiful picture of the church. And yeah. As we just lay our preferences of, oh, I like this or I like this style or whatever, it's just like leave that behind and let's enjoy one another and enjoy God together these days.
It's going to be great. I want us to sign off with Matt, I want you to say something nice about Charlie. Charlie, I want you to say something nice about Chris.
All right.
Chris, I want you to say something nice about Matt.
Well, Charlie, I must say your beard is looking particularly
nice. I'm being serious.
I know.
I want you to be serious. I want you to say something. I want people to know something nice about Charlie that you feel.
Oh, you're being serious.
I'm being dead serious.
Oh.
Yeah. Dead just true. One nice thing. Oh.
Can I have a little walk around the block and think? No.
I'm joking.
I'm joking.
Well, if you had a walk, it would be a little walk.
Yes, thank you, Louie.
Oh, dear.
Well, I will say this, actually. That and we'll probably edit all this out.
The first time I saw Charlie lead, I do believe, was at One Day 2000. And it just struck me that there was not an element of performance in it. It was like this praise-filled thing. It was kind of felt prophetic in a way, like he was moving with what God was saying. And I remember the song Salvation that you were doing. I just remember thinking that day that, man, there's something on this guy's life. You know, I've seen a lot of different kinds of worship leaders, but I didn't quite know what box to put him in. You know, it's kind of like, this is pretty unique. And I say that, I really feel like he's kind of flows with the wind of the Spirit, you know, when he leads, and that's an inspiring thing for me. So, nice one, man.
Thank you, man.
Cool.
Me for Chris. Besides his new rap record that just came out, called the Velociraptor. You can't get it in stores. It's
what in the world?
He's got a dinosaur costume on, and he calls himself the Velociraptor, and it's this completely other identity he's got, and I love the record, and you can only find it in, you know, indie rap stores.
Everywhere.
Okay, I'll tell you what I love about Chris. I mean I'll tell Chris what I love about Chris, but you have to look at me when I talk to you. Okay. What I love is your music has created a trying to find my right words, but it's created a worldwide community where we know around the world a handful of the same statements that we're all making to God many times at the same time every week. And that is, that surpasses you, and you're a good guy and all, but it surpasses what you could do humanly, and God has done this thing through you that's just uncanny, you know. And so one group over here, in a Baptist church and in a Episcopal church and in a charismatic church, and all around the world in different countries, are simultaneously singing a God song that he gave Chris Tomlin. And that's a powerful community that's been created around the world.
Thank you, man. That's cool. Thanks, Charlie.
So, and I don't always get credit for the parts of the songs that I wrote.
Sorry.
But I,
but I'm glad you're saying it now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now I will.
Thanks, man. That's really, that's very big words. Thanks. For Matt, for me, you know, Matt has been, we've become really close friends, and someone I think one of the main things for me about Matt Redman is the authority that you have, that I see very few people who would love to have it, but I just, there's favor for people and there's things like that, but there's an authority that God has given you, that you, that people follow you and you don't have to say a word. And I think when God has given you that gift, and I can see you in a room of people, and just, it may be people that people know their names, and it may be a room of people that are very influential, but for some reason that I feel like God sets you apart, and it is in the sense of, because of your, he's given you such wisdom, and it bugs me that you're younger than me and more wise. And yet, but there's an authority that is just amazing, and I think that you have a real heart for just knowing where the, gosh, where people are in their walk with God with your songs, and I think that's very evident with "Blessed Be Your Name" and songs like "You Never Let Go" and songs that people have been able to hold on to in these last few years that are just, that have been lifelines for them in their times of struggle. And I just see that authority, and I'm just always like, wow, God, this, you've really given this guy, you picked him out to be a real person that people can turn to. And I think that one of the beautiful things is knowing you is that, and I just want to say this on the podcast, is that when you're led by Matt, you can trust him, because and that's a big thing, that that people can trust you to lead them in the right way. And that's a big deal to me, because there's so many fake things today, and we see it all over the world and all over the TV. And to know that when you stand before people, you can trust Matt Redman, he's going to lead you in a right place, a right way with God.
Man, that's cool. Thank you.
That's cool. I like this, man. This is good. And I think it would be good for I think it would be good for the people listening to the podcast to take this on, and maybe when you're with your team the next time around, that you just take a minute and just look around the circle and say, I just want to tell you, this is what I appreciate about you. But thank you guys so much for the time today. It's great just to be in one space together. And thank you for being a part of this. And we won't all be back together again until we get to Atlanta.
Nice.
But it's going to be exciting. So thank you guys for your time. And we'll see you soon.
Well, it was a great interview with Matt.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Charlie, we had a little special guest appearance there by Chris Tomlin, which was exciting. And sadly, Crowder wasn't with us. All the Crowder folks out there are going to be, what happened? We missed out on David Crowder. Well, we were all meeting together for a few days, and flight schedules got weird. Charlie got there late. By the time Charlie had gotten there, Crowder was on his way out, so we couldn't quite get all the four guys in the same room at the same time. So, love to Crowder, and great interview, though.
I mean, those guys
are nuts, I'll tell you that. It was late at night. Could you tell that?
Maybe, just a little
just
bit.
Just a little bit. It was really late at night when we did that interview, so have mercy on us. By the way, just want to say thank you to you guys for tracking along with us in the podcast. Eddie and I were just pulling the stats up.
before we started today. It's really strong, staying strong every week. We've gotten tons of great feedback on Beth Moore's podcast, and just awesome. Thousands of people all around the world checking in with us. We were number one for a while there at iTunes. I think we might have dropped down into
We've dropped down a little bit
and for the holidays, which is great. We'd like to see somebody else be able to enjoy that space for a little while. But thank you guys for listening. And by the way, a couple things before we end today, but I want to say one thing, Eddie, make sure we mention that next week is going to be our final Passion 07 podcast, Connecting the World on the Journey to Atlanta. It's going to be a flight arrival podcast. Now, what does that mean exactly?
Well, I mean, basically, this is going to be all of the specific information. We haven't really talked a whole lot about, you know,
where do you park and how do you find registration and...
Exactly. So what you want to do is go ahead and download this podcast. You may not even want to listen to it until you get in your car. Just put it on your iPod. Start rolling in your car on the way, on the plane ride there. And we'll be giving you some specific information about things to look for, places to go, kind of some insider information that not everybody else is going to know on the way there.
Yeah, and so we just want to say, if you guys have been tracking along with us and you're not Passion 07 attenders, that's been incredible to have you on this journey with us, and we look forward to maybe connecting with you again somewhere down the line. But next week's podcast is really for people that are on the way to Atlanta, coming to the conference.
Exactly.
And so you guys that are not coming to Atlanta probably just want to ignore next week's podcast. But for those of you on the way, it's going to be a lot of helpful information that's going to get you to the right place, help you know what to do when you arrive in Atlanta. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So make sure you come back next week and check that out. This week, there's one thing that we really want to talk about, and it's the Do Something Now piece, which we've been, I mean, this is now the third week that we've talked about it. It's all over our website. Maybe you got an email from us about that, but we want everybody to know about this piece before you walk into Passion 07.
Well, this is going to be a phenomenal opportunity, I think, for us, Eddie, to really... You know, to put the gospel in motion, and that's really what it's about. You know, worship is much broader than singing the latest, greatest song.
Right.
Worship is giving God what he wants, and what God really, really wants is for us to go to the most needy people on earth and to extend to them some tangible evidence that he is real and that he knows about them and that he cares about them. And the only way that's going to happen is if we, the people who say we know him and have been with him, are able to do that for the lives of those who really are in a place where they cannot do it for themselves. And so we've said this before, but on Passion 07 website, go to 268generation.com. There's a little white icon right on the main page that says Passion 07. Click on that. And then right in the main news items, the latest news items, right in the middle of Passion 07. In fact, it's right on 268 Generation 2. Click on Do Something Now. There's a PDF there. We want everybody to download the PDF, check out the 8 opportunities, and get involved. And, you know, I can't really tell the whole story here, but one of our partners is the Seed Company, which is a part of Wycliffe Bible Translators, and now they're known as the Seed Company. They do Bible translations for people around the world. We're going to be partnering with them to translate the entire New Testament for a people group in Indonesia, and we want to pay for that and fund that whole project at Passion 07. But in the process of that, I've been working with a really close friend who's on the board of the Seed Company. And in the process of this whole thing, a friend of his has helped us with our needs for Passion, but then just got inspired and gave a mammoth gift. I'm talking mammoth gift to the Seed Company. So it's not coming through Passion 07. This person's in a job situation where they can't come to Passion 07, but they've heard about the conference. They've kicked in a little to help us, but then on the side, they just said, you know what? We're in a position where we're going to give a big chunk of money this year, and we want to give it to the Seed Company. It doesn't have anything to do with Passion. It has everything to do with the kingdom. And so if you're listening and you're not coming to Passion 07, download the PDF, check it out, look at these partner organizations, and find some places that you can help out and get involved in what God's doing around the world.
And this is different than, you know, next week's podcast. This isn't something that you want to print out and read on the plane, because then you might miss out. You want to be reading this now so you can get this in your head, be talking to the people that you're coming with, and start preparing today.
Totally. If you're coming with a group of people, for sure, a church group, campus ministry group, just a group of friends that are coming together, you want to check this out, because there's some opportunities for groups to kick in $1,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 in some cases. And so you want to think about that ahead of time, so you can walk into the Global Awakening area and say, you know what, we've been praying about these opportunities. We want to help here. We've either already raised the money on the way, or we're committed to going home and raising the money to do this specific thing. So check it out. Pray about it. We don't want people to make emotional decisions or impulse decisions. Right. We want people to really have a sense in their heart about what God wants them to do and where God wants them to step into the process.
And that's, I mean, it's one of the things that we've been praying about over the last couple of weeks on the prayer journey, which you can find at 268blog.com. And that's still going on today. We've got tons of people commenting on there, and we'd love for you guys to join us. If you've never been there before, it's 268blog.com. And every day we're just focusing on something else about Passion 07 or just about, you know, the whole generation of university students out there.
I loved yesterday's blog post, Eddie. Yesterday we prayed for Urbana 2006, yeah, which is InterVarsity's big triannual conference. That means, right, it happens every 3 years. And it's a missions-focused conference happening in St. Louis this year. They've done it in Urbana, which is where it gets the name, at mm-hmm. the University of Illinois for a long time, but they're moving it to St. Louis this year into the dome there. And right, we're so excited for these guys. We've gotten a few emails from people saying, you know, why is Passion going on the same time as Urbana? Well, we're actually day off of each other, but we feel that too. These guys are our friends.
Right.
Actually, the head of Urbana has been in our office in recent months, and we are prayer partners, and we love those guys and are so for them. And we just want to blast it out everywhere. We're not about Passion. We're right, about the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and the church that he's building around the world. And there are Campus Crusade conferences, campus outreach conferences, there are Black student conferences, mm-hmm. there are Methodist conferences, there's Urbana. There's stuff going on for thousands and thousands of students. In fact, they'll have as many or more people in St. Louis as we'll have in Atlanta for Passion. And
oh, yeah.
So that was yesterday's blog post, and we're just praying for somebody else's event. I mean, I just love that. And every day till Passion 07 starts, there'll be a little reminder there just so that you don't come through the door going, you know, I've been home for a few weeks. I've been chilling out with my family. I just kind of been doing whatever. And now I show up at Passion. But you'll come through the door, and God will already be pushing your heart into a new place. And that's really what the prayer journey is all about. And, you know, when it gets down to Christmas, it gets kind of lonely on the blog, Eddie,
yeah,
especially for me.
It dwindles down.
Because people are opening presents and eating too much honey-baked ham, and they're not, you know, really looking at the 268 blog. And here I am on Christmas morning writing blog posts, you know, for the journey. So here's what you could do. You could bump the comments up over the holidays. That would yeah. be a really big boost to us around here.
Nice gift.
And the emails, by the way, after that side joke we made on the podcast, we are up to double-digit emails now.
This is big.
I mean, we are into the like 11s and 12, 13 emails we've gotten as a result of the podcast. So we know we are reaching the world. And thank you guys for the overwhelming response. It's just absolutely bowled us over. So thank you for that. The 13 of you that took time to email and say something to me and Eddie about the podcast has just been incredible. So God bless all of you. Merry Christmas
Merry
to you
Christmas.
All. Happy Christmas to our friends in England.
And if this is the last time that you're tuning in, if you're not coming to Passion 07, thanks for being a part of this journey.
What a great ride. And
I know,
Eddie, you've
been
a
awesome.
Great host. Man,
well,
this
thank
has
you
been
very
so
much. It's
good.
Been great
I feel
working
like you're like a professional podcaster. I've been trying to catch up to you since the very first episode.
Well, I practice every night.
Well, I knew really something was going on, so I need to up my rehearsal time. But anyway, it's been great. Thank you for helping make this happen, all the folks here in the Passion House. And so if you're jumping off with us this week, we just pray that God will just continue to surprise you mm-hmm. with amazing things that you've never dreamed about, because he is the God of the universe. There's nothing that he can't do, and he has a purpose and a plan for every single person's life that's listening to us today, and for your life, Eddie, and for mine as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the hope of this day. And we don't have a clue half the time what it is, but he knows what he's doing, and he has our lives on track. So if you're leaving us today, it's been great being with you. Maybe we'll see you somewhere else down the road.
Yeah.
And if you're on the way to Passion 07, we'll see you next week at the Passion 07 podcast for arrival information.
So stay tuned with us. Stay in touch with us on 268blog.com. You can leave us comments and tell us how things are going and just how excited you are on the road to Atlanta. And for those of you that are coming next week, make sure you come back and check out the next edition, the last edition of the Passion 07 podcast. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy Christmas.